When something awful happens in your life, you can be left with two competing desires. One, to remember and acknowledge, and another, to forge a path forwards, not weighed down by your past. It is a delicate balance and something that Avraham Goldberg has been negotiating ever since he was freed from Auschwitz concentration camp in 1945 at the age of 19. Producer Anna Kelsey Sugg went to meet Avraham to ask him how he learnt to live with that trauma and to find out what's helped him along the way.
I'm quietly approaching the front door of a red brick unit on a leafy street in Melbourne's inner south. It's the home of 97-year-old Holocaust survivor Avraham Goldberg, and I'm expecting a calm mood inside. I'm wrong. Almost immediately, there's discussion of the Polish vodka that flowed at the launch of Avraham's memoir yesterday.
It's called Szybrówka.
Szybrówka. Barbara, Avraham's carer, is here too.
Avraham drinking Sprite, but if you mix with the apple juice, it's actually like strudel.
Wow. Okay. Avraham's son is over.
It's Charlie.
How are you going, come Charlie? Oh, wait,
and so is his friendly, scruffy little dog.
We had always dogs.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's like a Reisenbrit dog.
Eventually, we all take a seat at Avraham's kitchen table. It's covered with cards congratulating him and his wife, Sesha, on their recent 75th wedding anniversary. Avraham wears a suit and tie. His white hair is neat. He pushes his walker away to take a seat beneath a large family photo. There's Sesha, Charlie and sister Helen and three grandchildren. When we start our interview, it suddenly seems right that the house is so busy. It matches its owner.
I didn't know how long I'm going to live, but as long as I live, I will do my utmost what I am capable of.
Yesterday was the book launch with hundreds of people. Today's an interview. Tomorrow, Avraham's back to the Melbourne Holocaust Museum to give a talk about his life, something he's done regularly for almost 40 years.
If people ask me what I want to know, I never said I'm not going to talk.
There's a powerful reason for Avraham to tell his story. He promised his mum before she was killed that he would.
My mother told me in the moments what we're still together, that I should do everything humanly possible to survive. And when I will survive, wherever I will find myself, I shall tell the people what actually happened.
In 1939, when Avraham was 15, Poland was invaded by the Nazis. A ring of barbed wire went up around his home in the town of Lodz, and Avraham and his family were imprisoned in a ghetto. For 4 years, they were trapped, without enough to eat and in constant fear of being killed. Then, in 1944, Avraham and his mother were sent to Auschwitz concentration camp. The day they arrived there, his mother was murdered. He later learnt that his father and two sisters were also killed. It's difficult for me to comprehend just how much Avraham had suffered by the age of 19 when American soldiers finally freed him, and just how unlikely it was that he survived. Avraham is very firm that it wasn't divine intervention or anything he did differently that kept him alive.
All Jews of occupied Europe in the war years had a death sentence. This was in 21 countries. And if I survived it, I just luck. I did a lot. I did a lot to survive. But I could have been killed, murdered actually, any moment of the day. If I survived, I call it luck. I'm not a believer that he up there is going to help us, because, if he could let 1.5 million children be murdered and 6 million people, you see, so well, there is no God.
Where do you put those memories and how do you move on, whatever moving on means?
It's deep into me. It will never leave me. It will never leave me. But probably I'm a very strong character. Life has to go on. And I wanted to create a future of my people. The world has to rebuild. Well, and I have to be part of it also.
Moving on with his life involved getting away from Poland and from Europe, which held too many horrible memories for he and Sesha. also a Holocaust survivor who lost her family. The two moved to Australia for a fresh start. Abram also made a very deliberate and personal decision about how he'd live the rest of his life. Son Charlie jumps in here to explain.
When I was about 10, I said to Dad, "Do you hate the Germans?" And he got this stern look on his face, and I thought, uh-oh. And he said, "Don't you ever use that word." And I said, "What word?" And he said, "Hate." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because once you give in to that emotion, what is it that you become? It's a matter of not only surviving, but surviving with your humanity and your dignity still intact."
"So I don't hate, but I will never forgive. I have no right to forgive for 6 million.
Abram has devoted his life to making sure as many people as possible know his family's story and the story of the Holocaust. At 97, there are no plans to slow down anytime soon.
"I'm lucky. My mind is not too bad. I just did what I promised to do, and I'm still doing it."
I wonder if that's come at a cost at any point, living up to that promise.
"Oh, well, of course, it's affect me. Even when, every time when I'm telling and I'm talking to students, it's emotional for me. But I will be there till the last time I will speak. My children have to learn about it also. And at an early age, my children started to ask questions."
Abram's son, Charlie.
"When I was 4, when I first found out about the Holocaust, we were living in Auburn, and Mum would take me to a kinder in the local church hall, and I turned around because I started to notice all these kids were being picked up by their grandparents. And I asked Mum, 'Where are my grandparents?' And she just burst into tears. That was my awakening to it."
Abram and Sesha shared with their children select details about their missing family members and the Holocaust until they were old enough to know the full story. I'm surprised when Abram tells me he was similarly selective about the details in his memoir. Abram didn't want reading his story to be an endurance test or to push readers away with unbearable details.
"Because it will be too much for people. For like I described in the ghetto when the kids were thrown from the second floor, it was much worse."
This is one of many shocking things Abram witnessed in his time in the Lodz ghetto that he describes in his book. Even newborn babies in a hospital weren't safe from Nazi brutality. Abram shares with me added details he could have included about this in his memoir, but that he chose not to.
"It was enough what I said."
"Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, well,
can't hear
yeah, well, no, can't no it, it's up. Too much."
I wonder how he managed to move on, carrying all of that.
"It will never heal. I'm waiting it every day of my life, but this doesn't mean that we didn't have a normal life."
When Abram speaks with students, and there have been thousands over the years, he tries to teach them two lessons.
"When wrong is done, be always not a bystander."
And the other?
"There is only one race, the human race. No difference of the color of our skin, shape of our eyes, the color of our hair. What hurts one human being hurts also another."
Despite everything Abram suffered, he's infectiously positive.
"And I worked out with my children and my grandchildren. And now we are great-grandparents of a 5-year-old. Couldn't be better. I'm always saying, and I'm giving a message to the student also, of hope, not of despair."
Abram Goldberg, 97-year-old Holocaust survivor and co-author with Fiona Harris of a memoir called The Strength of Hope, which is published by Affirm Press. That story was produced by Anna Kelsey Sugg.
Getting in touch with ABCRN is easy. Join the conversation live using the ABC Listen app's call and text features.